Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It would be a real big one. This would go a long way to win this football game tonight. Not just because of the way you played week one, not just because you don't want to be 0-2, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
The Saints and the Bucks look pretty good.
Yeah, they do.
You wanna get too far behind these guys in the season.
That's crazy. I mean, in something like Mike Conte said earlier, and we talk about all the time, you're not as good as you are at this time and it's not as bad as you think it is.
Yeah, you're not as good as your best, you're not as bad as your worst.
I mean,
Some teams are as bad as worse.
Because that stuff I saw at Carolina yesterday, that was awful.
They're that bad.
They're worse than the Giants. I say the Giants are worse.
Yep.
No, Carolina Panthers are awful. They big awful. The Saints look really good. In two games in a row, they look really good. Derek Carr is throwing the ball really good. Kubiak in this system is looking – Alvin Kamara looks fresher than he's looked in a couple years. He wants his damn money.
Yeah, that's the key to it. Yes. He just looks like such a cheat code. When he's playing like this
– and he wants his money. And
he ran for 115 and four touchdowns yesterday. Yes. I mean, Taysom Hill is looking good. I mean, he always does, but they're using him the right way.
Actually, did anybody see this yesterday? Because I don't know I didn't get a lot to watch a lot of the game. Did Deshaun Watson get hurt yesterday? Because I saw Jameis in a couple times.
Mm.
What happened, Abe?
He's like their short yardage QB sneak. They're using Jameis.
All right, thank you.
I don't know if you saw anything other than
only time I saw him in short yardage. Okay, all right, thank you.
And that's probably because he is a little bit hurt.
Yeah.
And you don't want to use him in those short yardage. You get piled on. And
that
all
was
that.
A horrible game.
Trevor
Lawrence.
They won. They needed it.
Trevor Lawrence. They need to get his together.
He's lost how many starts
eight.
In a row?
In eight,
seven, eight
yeah,
in a row.
He need to get his. Together.
Yeah, no, it's. They probably should have won week one, but they didn't. Whatever. I mean, should have, could have, would have. The Browns look like one of the worst teams in the league week one, and then they beat you yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they're 0-2. I mean, there's some. You know, you kind of look around the league, and Baltimore being 0-2 is definitely a surprise. I would say there's some 2-0 teams that are surprising as well. I mean,
right.
Steelers being 2-0. No one's surprised the Texans or the Chiefs are 2-0, but the Vikings being 2-0 is a bit surprising.
I mean, you look out west, man. Arizona played really. Kyler Murray was great yesterday.
He had a perfect passer rating yesterday.
Great yesterday. I mean, I had a little attitude with him talking about it ain't his job to get Marvin Harrison the ball. Yeah, it is. You're quarterback.
Yeah, it's your
job. You're the damn quarterback.
I mean, I guess your point is you got to call the plays and get open, blah, blah, blah. But, like, come on.
Yeah.
This is Marvin Harrison
Jr. And he went crazy yesterday.
Yeah, he got him the ball. All in the first quarter.
Yes, four catches, two touchdowns in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they looked good yesterday. The Rams.
They're 0-2.
They're 0-2, and they are beat up.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Cooper Kupp left yesterday. We already know Puka's out.
Yep.
They lost a couple of offensive guys. They up it right now.
Yep.
And Aaron Donald ain't coming. We saw the video of him laying on the couch with his lady.
Yeah, no, he's happy.
No, I'm good.
He's got all that money, and Super Bowl, all those trophies.
I'm good, baby.
And somehow, again, I didn't see this coming. The Seahawks are 2-0 in that division.
Yeah,
the 49ers have been the cream of the crop for a long time in that division. And coaching change and all that, Pete Carroll era is over, and the Seahawks are 2-0 to start the season, too. We'll talk about the Falcons' keys to a win. Hopefully they can get to 1-1 tonight against the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football in about 15 minutes. But let's get to the big story of the day. Let's talk some college football after what was a fun Saturday. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Carolina 2. Nussmeier in the shotgun along with Williams. Here's the snap. Williams goes left side. Williams into the end zone. Put a Tiger 6 on it. Touchdown. Fighting Tigers of LSU. 2-yard touchdown for Josh Williams. And it's 35-33 with a point after try upcoming with a minute 12 to go in this one.
Let me tell you something, man. I took my hat off to LSU.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want to talk about battling and staying in the fight? South Carolina was supposed to. That energy that South Carolina came out with.
They're on 17-0. They block a punt. That building's going nuts.
It's going for them to battle the way they did.
Yep.
Now, that was a crap ass call on that touchdown, defensive touchdown. I don't care. He pushed him.
Yep.
That was a crap.
That's crap.
That was a crap call.
It's true.
But LSU battled. and battled, and they hung in there, they stuck in there, and they were able to get the win.
Yeah, it would have been.
I thought it was about to get real.
I thought so too. Yeah. I thought so too. The way that game started and all the momentum, and you know, you're getting Beamer special teams plays like usual with his dad and all that, and it just felt like, you know, and I don't know, LSU's okay, but for them to come back in that game and play the way that they did, down big on the road, guys hurt, just all kinds of crazy stuff, and get it done at the end. 36-33 on the road. They're 2-1. 2-1 is a huge difference than 1-2 with their upcoming schedule. We were talking about that on Friday about how if they did lose that game, how the real difficult part of their schedule was coming up. There could be 4 or 5 losses on that on that record at the end of the year, which no one would think you'd see from Brian Kelly in year 3. But credit to them. No, you're right. I mean, that's a tough win. Yeah. That's a really tough win to go down like that and come back.
Real win.
Nussmeier looked fantastic at times, also terrible at other times.
Yeah. I mean, in South Carolina, where would they be? They lost the quarterback. Their starting quarterback, he went down with the batting. He's playing so great.
Yeah, I forgot that they had Robbie Ashford as their backup quarterback, who's not bad.
Me too. But, that's a big win. That's a big win. But the thing about that whole day, it was crazy. That atmosphere was bananas. From the morning with the show on and the college football show on to the kickoff. I mean, South Carolina was all over them. And then they found a way to win, man. Says a lot of character.
Yeah, for sure. The game... People say the game was drunk. That game was drunk.
Yes.
As was everyone in the stands.
Yes.
I was hearing stories about some of the game day folks were talking about showing up to the set, 6 a.m., whatever, to get ready. They're already tailgating.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about, you're like people's moms just slurred speech.
Chardonnay that.
Sun's not up.
Yeah.
Sun's not up. We're hammered.
Yeah.
We're handing out airplane bottles and whatever.
Yeah, man.
It got hot.
Yes. But I mean, that's how it should be, man.
It is how it should be.
Man, it's a noon kickoff. We got to get to it early.
Exactly.
It's a noon kickoff.
So we start early, too. So we kick off early, too. That Arizona-Kansas State game was crap. That game didn't live up to the hype at all.
I was 0-4 on my picks.
That game, me too. Yeah, I went 0-4. I went 0-4 on the weekend. That game sucked. Yeah. Now, I will say this about Kansas State. That quarterback that they weren't too worried about losing their guy to
Avery Johnson.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah, man.
Like, that guy's a nice quarterback. Yeah, so I get why they weren't worried about losing their guy to Ohio State.
Yeah, man. And then that Mizzou game, I mean, they show a lot of character, man.
Because,
Ball,
I mean, they played crap
for 3 quarters. Yeah. And then, you know, Boston College, they had the lucky touchdown pass where he fumbles the ball, picks it up, and throws it. But they buckled down. And they gave Luther Burton the ball.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. Yeah, all right, game's on the line. Yeah, let's start throwing the ball to the best receiver in the country.
I want to get him the ball.
We talked about Georgia earlier. I mean, there's not that much to say about it. I mean, you can look at it however you want. You can spend the next 2 weeks being furious about it and Georgia, whatever, they're not good, poke holes in it. Or you won your clunker. And that's what you got to do.
You got to win some of
these. You're going to play games like this.
Yes.
And everyone only remembers, even in national championship seasons, like they were undefeated. Yeah, and some of the games look like that.
Yes.
Including games at Kentucky. Like that's some, for whatever reason, that's what it looks like up there.
Yeah, man. But
I don't know why.
They got the dub, most important thing. But there's still some work. You got to get healthier, more depth on that defensive line. And you got to figure out what to do with these offensive weapons. You got to figure out a way to manufacture more explosive plays. And I'm not talking about, you know, against whoever. Who the hell do we play the week? Tennessee State?
What?
Who do we play?
Tennessee Tech?
Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah, you got to make big. You got to make those kind of plays.
Yeah, right. But not against Tennessee Tech. You got to do it against who's the next opponent?
Well, they got the bye week. So this week's opponent is going to be rough because it's going to be against each other.
Yeah, I heard they practice Sunday morning.
Yeah, coming off of a game like that.
But then they have a bye and then they go on the road
to Tuscaloosa.
That's right. Tuscaloosa, who they seem to figure it out.
They beat the hell out of Wisconsin.
Against Wisconsin. Now, I understand Tyler Van Dyke got hurt in the first quarter. I don't think that changes that game all that much. Jalen Milroe looked fantastic. Their 4 touchdown drives were like 90 seconds or less.
Dude.
They
are a quick strike, big play offense.
They're a Kalen DeBoer offense, man. Took a little bit of time, but they're there.
You got to make them drive the football. Because this is where they are right now. They are a big play, quick strike offense.
Yep, which is absolutely what Milroe can do.
Yes.
If you have to get him into those tough little intermediate passes, that's when you can beat him. But they also have great running backs.
Yes.
And they're using those guys right. So their offensive line is still banged up. So I would imagine they'll get some of those guys healthy and back for Georgia. But that's going to be a ball game, man.
Yeah, dog.
Alabama is really, really good. Memphis beat Florida State. Florida State's a disaster.
Yes, it is. What's more of a disaster, Florida State or Florida?
God, that's a great question.
I think Florida is, to be honest.
Is it Florida?
I think Florida State's still got a half-decent shot to go to a bowl.
You do?
Okay.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Like when defenses do well against him, mm-hmm. and I don't mean like he pulls his hamstring, because that's what happens. Mm-hmm. Like when defenses actually have a good game plan against Saquon and slow him down, what does that look like?
Well, they got to make the run lanes uncomfortable. You know, like he got away from this. Because he used to do a lot when he was young, the bounce. That was his biggest thing, was bouncing, and he would bounce into trouble instead of sticking his face in there getting 4 yards. You want him to kind of be, like, bottled up a little bit. You got to stay in your run fits and everything like that because of the ability for him to bounce. And one thing about him is that he has breakaway speed. Like, he's a big dude, but the dude can go. And so I think you got to find a way to keep him bottled up between the tackles. And those linebackers, you got to fit the right area, and you got to gang tackle.
No Nate Landman tonight?
Yes.
Who obviously part of the linebacking core. His strength probably is defending the run.
Yes.
Maybe not as good in coverage, but no Nate Landman tonight. So, I mean, I don't think that makes or breaks the game for you. You have other linebackers that are good and will play, but probably like to have him in a game like this with Saquon on the other side.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Because you want a linebacker like Lemon when it like this, because he know one speed downhill. And the thing about it is he's taking on guards and everything. That's something that Troy and those guys are gonna have to do tonight. You know, because you know that's what irritates me, because it's an easy run concept for what they're gonna do. They're gonna do the inside belly with the pull read for Jalen. That's what they do. That's what they're gonna do. Now it's all about that initial, those guys, Onyemata and Grady, getting off block and holding up blocks, allowing these guys to make plays.
Yeah, I feel good about those guys. Like, if we're talking about what this specific guy on the defense needs to do, I mean, obviously Judon felt like he got a little bit better as the game went, had that play in the fourth quarter.
They said he was wrecking practice when he was with the Patriots. They practiced against the Eagles. Is one of the rare times he did practice while he was up there. So he had a good camp.
Good.
I think that was Dukes and Bell had a guy on from Philly, and he was talking about their practice or whatever. But, I mean, you got to tackle well. You got to tackle him well. And if Jalen makes a mistake, you got to make him pay.
Yeah, that's one of mine. And it's beyond just that. It's when you got to win the turnover battle. Like, you could have beat, you bad as you played, you probably could have beat the Steelers if you didn't turn the ball over three times.
Yeah,
and they were two interceptions and a bad fumble. Like, you keep those possessions. Maybe you get a couple more points, maybe one touchdown, field goal, whatever it is, and you probably win that game, even though you did not play well and did not have much going offensively. You can't do that again. Like, you can't have those sloppy man goes in motion and you snap the ball into him turnovers. I don't want to see Kirk, especially that second one, just to, you know, get rid of it, pockets collapsing, kind of a YOLO throw. You don't do that. Just get it out of bounds. Like, just get the ball out of bounds, worst case scenario. And Jalen's going to give you opportunities. Mm-hmm. Like, Jalen Hurts is going to throw a couple passes that you can intercept. It's not going to be a Justin Fields-type game plan where they try to babysit him and don't let him throw over the middle.
No.
Like, there's going to be interceptions to be had. He's got to come up with them.
And that thing, the one thing about Jalen is Jalen, you can't let him get in the rhythm. Because one thing about Jalen, once he's out, it's very hard for him to get back into a rhythm, so you got to keep him guessing. My other one, Andy, You got to win on first down on both sides. Offense and defense, you got to win on first down. You got to put yourself in manageable second and third downs if you're Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons offense. And then you want to keep Jalen and this offense in third and second and second and nine, third and nine, and everything like that, because that takes away the run element as far as that. Now, that's going to be the another one is you got to keep eyes on Jalen because he's a running quarterback. And those lanes, and he's not afraid to take it. If it's there, y'all like to rush lanes, you rush past it. Pass the quarterback, tackles push you past, you leave a lane,
yep.
You're in man coverage. Jalen, that's an easy 20 for him.
And that's something that
that's an easy 20 for him.
Killed the Falcons last year.
Yep.
Like, I know different year, different defense, different players, but there's some of the same guys. Like, you probably win three different games if the running quarterback doesn't break one or two plays on you last year. Obviously, Josh Dobbs in that game, Kyler Murray against the Cardinals. Like, those just those moments. It's like, damn, just make a tackle. Jalen Hurts is going to do it. Like, there's going to be design runs where he keeps it, pulls it down, and tries to get yards on you. But then he also has those dirty yards, too.
Yep.
And if you make a – like, you get into a good situation where it's third and seven or whatever, and you got good coverage, and you're like, pretty solid on defense, and then Jalen just scrambles out for that eight – backbreaking. Yep. I mean, that just destroys the defense over time. Like, it grinds
especially
you down.
When you're playing well.
Yeah, you're playing
you're
good.
Playing
we did good. We covered well. Yeah. We did good. Yeah. We held up, and then he found that one lane, kept the drive alive. The more you do that, the more exhausted you get. Mine very similar to what you said. You're saying winning first down on both sides of the ball. I said win third down on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
Obviously, those things go hand in hand. The Falcons were awful on third down.
They were.
Against Pittsburgh. And we had Arch on mid last week, and he was talking about part of that is what you're talking about, how bad they were on first and second. Of the nine third downs they had, seven of them were 10 or longer.
Yeah.
You can't
win
that.
Like that.
You can't win like that if they don't have TJ Watt.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely can't win like that when they have that guy over there knowing you're in a passing situation. It's going to tee off on you. So, I mean, and we say this too, this don't want to get too greedy. You don't have to get to third down every time either. You know, you're allowed to pick up a first down on second down, you know?
Yeah.
Skip third down. You can do it. Get right back to first.
You really can.
It's second
there's
and six.
No rule.
Oh, we got 8 yards. Now it's first down again.
There's no rule.
It doesn't have to be third and four every single
there's
time.
There's no rule that it has to be third down again.
No. It doesn't.
It really isn't.
It doesn't.
Man.
And but that, when you're doing that, when you're picking up first downs on first down or on second down, that tends to be indicative of a rhythm offensively.
Right.
There was no rhythm offensively last week against Pittsburgh.
No.
Now, credit to Pittsburgh. Hope they'll chalk it up. Whatever percentage of the pie it was that was Pittsburgh doing that to you, hopefully it was a lot. Because Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator of the Falcons, has to have a better game plan today.
Yeah, he has to. You know, you want to always see growth. Now, granted, this is his second game, NFL coordinator, everything. I said this last time. I don't care.
I don't either.
I don't give a damn.
Great. He's the offensive coordinator.
He's the offensive coordinator.
I don't care how many games he's done.
He's got to show growth for this play calling, his play design, and all those other things. And the other guys got to help. And I'm talking about the players themselves. These guys have got to get up. I know Kyle Pitts is going home. Got a lot of people at the football game.
Right, from Philly.
Which is always fun. From Philly. Yep. And those things. But these guys have got to find ways to get open. And those five guys, they got to protect them. They got to give Kirk time. And they got to give Bijan and these runners some lanes. You said it earlier, and I'm right on board with you. I do think there probably was a wanted to be a more emphasis on getting Tyler Algiers more carries, but it just went away from what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So he's only able to get three carries, but I can see him somewhere at 7, 8, maybe 9, 10 carries tonight. That'll mean that run game is going, and that's the first thing they got to do. They got to get it crank up to do what they want to be able to do to have Kurt at probably his best. All right, you got to do something different out of the pistol if you're going to run it today. You cannot just sit there and do what you did last time and let Caleb McGarry let him run block and let him be the point of attack on some runs tonight. All right, let him be let him be on the right side and let him run.
Yeah, run behind him.
Run behind him.
He's big. He's a big road grader. He can block for runs. And sometimes in the past game, not T.J. Watt or others, but sometimes. But, yeah, if you get – the other thing with him, and I don't know, it's probably true for a lot of guys, but we've seen this with him before. Like, if it starts out good and he gets, like, in a pretty good
groove
yeah. not just going forward, right. but physically, but mentally,
yes.
like, it tends to go pretty well. 2 years ago, when they had the third-best rushing offense in the NFL with Algier and Cordarrelle Patterson and all that stuff, he actually had a pretty good year. Now, that was a contract year.
Yes, it was.
He also came in the best shape of his life
and
earned a contract extension. I mean, good for him, going for the money and all that. But last year, there was just not a lot of games where they got in that great running rhythm. And part of that is because he wasn't ever in a very good rhythm.
Right.
So I'm with you. Like, run behind him. Let him go forward.
Yes.
Let him do the thing that makes him feel good about himself.
Because he likes it.
I bet it doesn't feel great to keep getting your ass kicked by whoever on the outside and everyone's looking at you.
And everybody's looking at you.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is we saw the disruptive plays that TJ had, right? We don't know how the rest of the game went. Caleb made it.
Maybe he blocked him good a couple times.
He blocked him good a few times, but we don't care about that.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? When TJ Watt hits your quarterback seven times, yes. Then those other whatever, however many times you blocked him, kind of don't matter.
It don't really damn matter. Yeah. It really don't matter. But, yeah, I'm anxious to see how this team is able to bounce back from a disappointing – because they're disappointed, too. We talk about the fans and everything like that, rightfully so. But nobody feels worse than these players did. Because you do put a whole lot of damn work into this, and you get ready for a season. And for you to go out there with the expectations that a lot of us had about this team without ever seeing them in person. And I think that was the biggest – and I'll always take my – I was use myself because I don't ever want to use nobody's. That's my biggest was – that right there was I was putting expectations on something that I've never seen.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept saying that Friday we're twin to be. I kept saying, we're all going to see this together for the first time.
I know that is why we tried to not like temper expectations, but it's like we don't really know.
We really don't know because
it's all on paper. Like,
it's on paper. And we know this that Kirk's here and we Kirk's coming off of an injury. We know that Kirk's had weapons before. He's had weapons before. I just know with my expectations of him as a quarterback because of what I've seen of his track record. Now, his track record with this team and these teammates, I don't know.
So far, not great.
No.
So far, not much.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
As you see more, hopefully it looks better. I mean, those are my, kind of my final two thoughts on it is, I mean, it does really, all that other stuff, it comes down to him. Yes. Like, he's got to be the quarterback that you're expecting to see.
Yes.
Like, whether it was Rust or TJ Watt or whatever, play calling, whatever it was week one, it's got to be better, and Kirk Cousins has to look better tonight in order for the Falcons to win this game.
Comfortable, too.
Yeah, comfortable, you know what I mean? Comfortable and rhythm and all that.
All those different things, Buck. And it's going to be funny if they're under the center of the first damn play. I'm going to love it.
No, I hope they are.
I'm going to love it.
I hope because they are because that's what he does
that's what
well.
He does well. That's what I'm saying.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Red from the Heart, redfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. A couple phone lines available if you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. Just me for the AMA today, and Abe, and Bo, if you want to ask them some questions. If you have Randy-specific questions, we'll just guess at what he might have said. We'll just take a guess. I feel like we know him pretty good. I'll just speak on behalf of Randy if you have Randy-specific questions. But there's a couple phone lines available if you want to jump on hold. We'll start with Ed in Lawrenceville. Hey, Ed.
Well, Andy, I hope you can speak for Randy, because my question was, I know, and first off, Andy, I'm a Wisconsin grad,
yeah.
So I feel your pain, brother.
Yep.
You know,
it was a tough weekend for the UWs.
Yeah, yes, that was a bloodbath at Camp Randall.
Yep.
But no, my question to Randy was, and I'll ask you, is, you know, I know Randy was all about the bread when he played the game. You know, he wanted every nickel that came to him.
Sure.
What in the hell is Hassan Riddick doing?
Yeah, I would love to hear Randy's thoughts on this. Well, he's costing himself a lot of money right now, $800,000 every time he doesn't play. I do wonder, though, because they had a pretty significant injury on their defensive line, right? I wonder if his leverage or his negotiating power guy. But who's the kid that was at Georgia and then Florida State that got hurt for the Jets over the weekend? Edge rusher. Johnson. So I wonder if that helps him at all. I don't know that it does, but yeah, he's holding out. He's trying to get more money. I also don't understand what the Jets are doing. Like, why'd you trade for him if you weren't going to get anything done? The reason he didn't stay in Philadelphia was because of that situation. So it's pretty poorly handled all the way around. But I do wonder if his leverage got any better with that injury over the weekend. Xavier is in Gwinnett.
What's going on, Andy?
Hello.
So, not going to lie, I've always kind of been pessimistic about the Falcons and what we were doing, you know, since the Kirk Cousins thing. But one question. Does Sam Darnold doing in Minnesota right now says anything about, you know, what we were sold on Kirk Cousins for? Like, doesn't it seem kind of like maybe we were sold full gold and could have been like more the system than it was Kirk Cousins?
Thank you, Xavier. It's interesting that you say that, because we were talking about what Kevin O'Connell has been able to do, the head coach in Minnesota, been able to do with Sam Darnold in the first couple games of the season. I feel like it's probably too early in the year to go that far with all that. And Kirk had good years otherwise than just when Kevin O'Connell was his head coach, but certainly had his best years when he was coaching him. So I don't, it's something to think about for sure. I think more than anything, Kevin O'Connell's a really good coach and maybe doesn't quite get the respect that he deserves for how good of a coach that he is. If you can take Sam Darnold at this point of his career and turn him into like a real winning quarterback in the NFL after how long he's been in the league, how many different teams he's been on, how many different tries he's gotten, that would really be something. He also sat in San Francisco last year and kind of got to soak some of that up as well. But yeah, no, we thought about that. We talked about that off the air before the show. It's like, huh, look what Sam Darnold's doing in Minnesota. All right, well, we'll watch that closely. Devin is in Kansas City. Hey, Devin.
My man, what's happening, bro?
Hi, Devin.
So I was pretty upset when Dylan Raiola decommitted from Georgia. But now that I look at it, I'm pretty damn glad he left. Because it just bothers me to see this lame, weird-ass dude do exactly everything like Mahomes. Now I get Kobe tried to be like MJ and stuff, but he turned into the mama. Totally different. So mm-hmm. At what point does that become, what he's doing become like just weird as hell rather than being like respectful and or a fan?
It's already weird. I think it's already weird, personally.
Yeah, weird as hell, Andy.
Yeah, I think it's already weird. And if you haven't seen it, Dylan Raiola is basically doing like a full-on Patrick Mahomes cosplay. Like haircut, phone number, or it's a jersey number, his mannerisms, the way that he runs and warms up before the game, the glasses, like all of it. I will say it is weird. It's definitely weird. And he's taken it to a different level than other people who have sort of been inspired by other athletes to, like, you know, talking about like Kobe and Jordan and stuff like that. If you're going to emulate a guy.
Jameis
what?
That's who you should emulate.
That's who you should try to be like.
There needs to be way more people acting like Jameis out there. That's just in general.
What if
patty whack, give a dog a bone.
So you see what I'm saying?
You're recruiting a kid, and he's like, yeah, my inspiration is Patrick Mahomes. Then you kind of look at him, and it's Raiola. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, haircut, kind of looks like him a little bit. All right, we get it. You're recruiting a kid, and he's like, yeah, my dream is to someday grow up and be kind of like more like Jameis.
Heisman winner. Come on.
It's true.
Champion.
He did. He won his national championship and a Heisman. There's no doubt.
How you feel about it? Tell me how you feel about it.
You don't hear that. You don't hear anyone say anything like that. But no, it's weird. It's already gotten weird, in my opinion. Like, I think the one that I compare it to is Jason Tatum with Kobe. Like, he texted him after he was dead and then posted it on social media, like, that he texted him. That's just weird. It's weird behavior. And Patrick Mahomes is making it worse, too, because he's tweeting about him and, like, they're buddies and all that. So it's not going to change anytime soon. But I will say, if you're going to emulate someone, that's probably a good guy to be copying. And he does look like him. They're 3-0.
Is it made weirder, like, you could emulate someone you don't know? It's almost weirder to emulate someone that you're in communication with.
Yeah, kind of.
By the way, just breaking, Bryce Young benched for Andy Dalton.
Dang, really?
I told you, Canales can't sit around.
You did say that.
I'm
surprised. Now, he didn't. He wasn't there when they drafted him, so I guess it's a different deal. But, dang, he's been playing bad. By the way, Nebraska plays Illinois on
Friday night. Yeah.
That could
Fox
be a fun one.
Fox is killing it with that that Friday night schedule. I think the AP poll threw him a bone, by the way, by just kind of sliding into the rankings.
22 versus 24, right, I guess, so it's a ranked matchup. Yeah, for sure. Derek is in Charlotte. What's up, Derek?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I just want to say something. Actually, all the number one picks are playing so good this year. Baker Mayfield, what's the deal with Trevor Lawrence? Because it's like it seems like everybody got an extension, but now Trevor's the one that's on the block. And I'm going to tell you like this. Shout out to Nate Peterman being on the Falcons, too. But what's your deal on these number one picks and how they're doing this year? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. You got guys like years after being number one picks looking good. Like Baker obviously had a good year last year and got the extension, but he's looked really good to start. We just mentioned Sam. I guess he was the number three pick, but like an early pick. Took him a while, and he's playing good now too. Trevor Lawrence said it after the game yesterday. He said, we suck right now, and I got to play better. What was 14 for 30 yesterday. Hasn't looked great so far. He's lost 7 starts in a row. Did get all the money in the offseason, but no doubt, you're right to say that it didn't look good. Now I'll give Caleb Williams some leeway. He's made 2 starts, and his offensive line's going to get him killed. Like, he got hit 36 times yesterday. He had 37 dropbacks. He got hit on 36 of his 37 dropbacks yesterday. Like, that's no way to live.
Can you get hit multiple times on one dropback?
I mean, yeah,
to
honestly.
If you, like, if maybe you it wasn't up, 36 to 37.
He
it was...
did. He did. If you add up all the hits, he got hit more than 37 times yesterday because there was a couple sacks late in that game where he, like, one guy hit him and then he got hit from the other side. Who was the guy?
There was one
Danielle
sack.
Danielle Hunter sacked him late in the game yesterday and just, like, he jumped off a diving board to hit him. Like, he sprung his whole body into him and drove him into the ground. Now, it's not, doesn't, probably not fun to be Caleb Williams today. Lonnie is in Jackson. Hey, Lonnie.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Should I get too high up with the Braves beating the Dodgers this series, or still kind of half glass full with them?
I credit you if your glass is still half full. I feel like that would be good.
Also, that series kind of could end in a split tonight.
It could, yeah. If they don't win tonight, they don't win the series. Now, they won the first two games by a ton, looked awesome, and have gotten great starting pitching in every game. Yesterday just got gross late. They had runners on second and third with no outs and stranded them. Credit to the Dodgers pitcher, I guess, but those are some of the worst at-bats I've ever seen. Like, Travis d'Arnaud, at least he got the bat on the ball. It wasn't deep enough to score the run, but at least he got...
You didn't appreciate Arcia swinging for the fences?
Arcia, he looked like a little leaguer. Like, he looked completely overmatched in that at bat, like, to the point where, I don't know, like, that was pretty embarrassing from him. And then what Kelnick did in the outfield, and Kelnick, I don't know. Has Kelnick had a good first year here? It doesn't seem like it. I mean, he had some moments, but he hasn't lived up to maybe what some of the possibilities could have been. And then Iglesias was like, all right, I haven't given up any runs in 3 months. Let me give up all the runs in one game.
Get it out of your system.
Get it out
That's
of
right.
the system.
It's, this
and then
is,
we'll check back in next time.
Andy, you know I started keto, and every once in a while I'll have a cheat day. That was Iglesias' just cheat day.
That was his cheat day.
Yeah,
he hadn't allowed
it all
earned runs since mid-June, and then he allowed a lot of them.
It was just a cheat day.
A lot of earned runs yesterday. Yeah, no, it sucked. It sucked the way that game ended because it very much looked like they could have won that game. It also like kind of gets lost what a absolute problem Shohei Ohtani is, because it was 2-0, right? And they tried to kind of pitch around him while pitching to him. Pretty good pitch from Charlie Morton. He still gets the bat on the ball and doubles and scores a run. Then he comes up again. I don't know. That was a pretty damn good pitch that that Dylan Lee made. And he still gets a bat on it and doubles and scores another run. And then they just an avalanche of runs in the eighth and end up blowing the Braves out. But they win the game tonight. They win the series. Go a long way in terms of trying to win that wild card. So, I don't know. All right, let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day every single day to wrap up the show. I will lead us off. Randy said earlier in the show, if it ain't grinded, it ain't me.
So, Randy's just trying to be a loving, kind father, and his family's trying to turn him into content.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you should look. They got him pretty good. It was pretty
good. And somebody needs to get Bryce Young a little podium. Well, now they don't need to get him any podium.
Yeah, when you're benched, you don't have to talk to the media. So I guess that big backpack and that big podium don't matter anymore. That's crazy. Meanwhile, CJ Stroud, 2-0, dealing, balling, awesome.
Dylan Raiola ain't Kobe. And why imitate Mahomes when Jameis is right there for the taking?